Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our video or podcast episode. This one, I'm going to be doing a series on the doctrine of hell. This would be first in a series. I have entitled this first one, "For I Am Tormented in This Flame." And it's the story of rich man and Lazarus found in Luke 16. And one of the reasons I wanted to start off with this is to kind of get a provocative title in hopes that maybe someone that is either unlearned or unbelieving, a non-believer, might be interested in what the Bible says about hell and how it concerns every one of us. And I thought that was a good one because that's a verse. "For I am tormented in this flame," as found there in Luke 16. We're going to be going through that passage. First, I would I'd probably give just a just an overview on hell. And I have a website entitled "The Reality of Hell," and I'll put the link to that in the video descriptions, and it'll on the podcast. You can also look in the summary of the description there of the podcast. I'll put the link in there. And that's just it. We believe it to be a real place. Hell to be the doctrine of hell. It's a teaching about how hell is literal. It's a real place. It's an everlasting place or eternal place. This is can be interchangeable. Those words there is like eternal life or everlasting life. Same thing. It's an eternal or everlasting place of hell. The English word hell, translated from the Greek New Testament, they have four basic words that we put in our English Bible called hell. And it can be a little confusing if you didn't understand that the Greek words are different. And it's talking about a different aspect. And those words are, in the transliteration, called Hades is one of them. That's what we'll be looking at today. Then there's the word abyss, Gehenna, Tartarus. We don't have time to cover all that, so I'm going to do a couple of the videos. I don't know how many. To cover in detail each of these locations and descriptions. And then, of course, we got our text itself in Luke 16. And I wrote some notes here that I don't have on the screen. But basically, Luke 16, the parable, many people think it is a parable. Many people don't think it's a parable. And the reason they don't think it's a parable is because it's the only story where Jesus names a person by name. And that's the name of this fellow named Lazarus. Now, we know it isn't the Lazarus found in John chapter 11, because in the ministry of Jesus, when he told this story, it was before that Lazarus had died. So we know it can't be him. But Lazarus was a very common name, but he does give name to one of the characters in the story. Now, if it's a parable and it's not a real story, then it's describing a reality. Parables are basic truths that are brought out in some cases to hide the knowledge, but also to bring knowledge to those that have understanding. Now, for example, the story was given mainly for the benefit of the Pharisees. The disciples were present when Jesus was telling this, but in verse 14, a couple verses prior to the first verse we're going to be looking at, it said, after the first parable he gives in the chapter about the unjust steward, and he was talking about you can't serve God and mammon, or can't serve God and money. It said that the Pharisees, who were rich, it says they were lovers of money, and they heard all these things. They derided him. So they were very upset at his first parable. And so then he comes and tells this story. And interesting enough that the idea of the day was that Pharisees had the idea that the rich people automatically are almost guaranteed heaven. I don't know how they come up with this. They were rich, of course. And they thought someone that was poor, someone that had, in the mention of the sores, we're going to look at the text here, it talks about the dogs licking his sores, all of these sorts of descriptions of this poor man, that this guy, in their minds, was despised by God. And the rich man would have favor with God. And then when Jesus tells the story, it's quite the opposite. And so I think that is, he does that for effect. I don't think the story, you can conclude that all poor people go to heaven and all rich people go to hell. That is not our qualification to get into heaven, which I'll talk about here in a little bit. But basically, it was to bring out this parable, if you want to call it a parable, the story to the Pharisees. So whether it was a real situation or it was to give an example of what was happening, I believe it to be a literal place. For example, years ago I was a heroin addict. And to describe what it was like to be a heroin addict to someone that had never experienced that, or to describe the withdrawal symptoms, it was very difficult, very hard on your psyche and on your body. And so for me to put that in words, I couldn't even put it into the words. I could come up with something. And one of the things I came up with was it's like if someone were to take a wash rag, washcloth and wringing the water out of it, you know, like with their hands like that. And that's what heroin, you know, going like that to your soul. That's what I could describe it as, kind of in a poetic form. Well, you know, it's much worse than that. And so whatever story Jesus gives about the afterlife, and if it's anything to do with eternal punishment, he could only use so many words. It's got to be much worse than he describes. So to say it's just a story or a parable doesn't comfort me at all. To say that, you know, that somehow we're to ignore it, the truth behind it. So that's a little bit about the overview of the text. And then if we go down here now, so the focus for this show are the conditions surrounding the rich man. That's what I want to focus on because I've entitled it, I Am Tormented in His Flame. We want to look at his cognitive assessment of this guy. Physical condition, spiritual condition, his future destiny. We want to look at all those aspects and to bring that out and then to go to the focus of future shows that we would take a closer look at the place of the dead, the relationship between Hades and hell, Abraham's bosom. I'll briefly comment on that when we get to that text, the who, what, and where of that. Location of paradise, Gehenna, Abyss, and Tartarus, and more. Okay? So let's go ahead and get started. And we're going to take each passage of this text. It's verses 19 through 21. And the reason that I broke it up in little sections because I can't get all the text on one slide, obviously, to be able to have you guys read it. But just read along. So this first section, I just broke it off where it talks about these two fellas while they're on earth, the rich man and Lazarus. So let's go ahead. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Both of them at their death, verses 22 and 23. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. verses 24 through 26, we have two different destinations. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. A futile appeal. Verses 27 through 31. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. Okay, so what you have here is you have Abraham and Lazarus in a place called Abraham's bosom. And it describes it as comfort. Lazarus was being comforted. And then you have the rich man. He's in Hades, the Hades portion there, in a place that has torments. And between the two, there's this great chasm or gulf fixed, as the New King James says, great gulf fixed. Other versions might say a chasm. There was some sort of wall. Although they could see each other through this veil or wall, and they could hear each other, as it was stated in the text, they couldn't pass from either place. I found this picture. This is a diagram that I did. I found this picture here, and it's kind of blurry as to give the idea that there's this great gulf fixed. There's kind of a haze, because it says that the rich man looked afar off. You know, he could see them, but they were afar off. So apparently it looks like Abraham at the top of the screen in the green surrounding background, which depicts a cool environment, lush green. And then you got two guys there, which would be Abraham and Lazarus. And then you have this rich man at the bottom of your screen in the area of torment, and the flames there in the hot area. And so that's what it looks like. Now, some believe that, and that's why we don't have to cover it all in one film or video, is some believe that this idea, Abraham's bosom, was just a representative of hell, or excuse me, heaven, heaven and hell. And then others believe that it's an actual, Abraham's bosom is a compartment of the underworld, a compartment that's no longer there because Christ had risen and gone up into heaven. And we'll get into all that in the future videos that I do on this. But it's, for our focus today, it's not going to much matter if you take the view that there's these two compartments located in the center of the earth, or, you know, in the place of the dead, or it's just representing heaven and hell, because the description of the places wouldn't be any different. Okay, so now I got some observations. We're going to be rereading this first part of the text there, verses 24 through 26. And this is the rich man. It says, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Okay, so some observations that we can glean from just that first verse there describing this rich man. Okay, so first of all, he has his faculties. He's able to think. He's able to see. He's able to talk. He's able to hear. He's able to feel. He's undergoing some sort of unpleasant experience. It says he's tormented. Now, the definition of torment, you can find on any dictionary, and you're going to get various definitions, basically the same. And I looked it up. One, it said extreme pain or anguish of body or mind, agony, a source of vexation or pain, an infliction of torture, as like being on a rack. Or another one said, to cause severe, persistent and reoccurrent distress of the body or mind. So it's very unpleasant, whatever he was going through. I find it fascinating, although he was tormented in a flame, and his surroundings, there was a flame, but he wasn't being consumed. We think of being in a flame like in a furnace fire that you're going to be consumed, right? But he's not. There's a flame, but he's not being burnt up. And another thing is, too, if you've undergone any kind of excruciating pain in your life, perhaps an accident or a surgery, I've gone through a few different things where my pain was so great, I couldn't even carry on a conversation. I wasn't asking questions. You know, you're writhing in pain. Well, apparently the pain wasn't that bad that he could talk still. Nevertheless, he wanted relief. And he was asking, begging that, you know, just one drop of water to cool his tongue. Now, in this observation, he still has some sort of body. You know, we think of when we die that our body leaves the spirit. Our spirit leaves the body. It says that the body's dead. Without the spirit, the body's dead, it says in James. And so we think of some disembodied spirit roaming around, but it says his tongue. So he must have still had a body of some sort, like a resurrected body. Now we know that one day we'll get resurrected bodies in heaven, but as little as attention is given to the thought of having a resurrected body in hell. But it says to put it on his tongue because he's tormented. Okay, so let's go here to this. We might go back to that. Okay, so here it is. Observations. He's conscious. He's aware. He can talk, like I mentioned. His faculties. He has feeling. He can feel pain. His depravity remains. Let's go back a minute. Verse 25. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and you are tormented. So he is being tormented. And we're going to bring out his depravity more in the next section, but what I wanted to point out here was even in his situation, he's still trying to order Lazarus around like a servant. You know, he's telling them, oh, send Lazarus over here. You know, like he's the beggar. You know, he's ordering him around like he's the rich man. And so he hasn't lost his... He's not humble. You think he would be humble. Like he's desperate, that's for sure. He wants mercy. He's asking for mercy, but his attitude hasn't really changed much. He still, you know, wants to boss Lazarus around, basically. Now, let's go to the next passage. Then he said, well, then, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Okay, so he can reason. You know, he's trying to reason. He also has memories of lost opportunity. And he realizes it's too late for him. You notice he doesn't ask to be let loose. And of course, he has an accusing conscience of these missed opportunities. And then I'm sure he realizes there's permanent separation. He knows that he's not getting out, so he says, well, at least go tell my brothers, lest they come to this place. He knows that he's never going to go over to the side where Lazarus is, because he was told that there's this great gulf that's fixed there that he cannot pass. And so it's an interesting situation for this man that he's there with all his faculties, and he is under a condemnation that is going to be forever. Now, we're going to learn in our later videos that we put together with this, that one day Hades, this place of the dead at this point, if that will be thrown into the lake of fire, which is it's a different location, it's a different place. This is almost like a precursor. You got the flames, you got the torment, and you got the suffering there. You know, you just want one drop of water. You know, what's one drop of water going to do? But apparently your anguish is so great. Now, what we'll find later as we focus on these different places like Gehenna, which is the lake of fire, that when a person gets to that stage, that there's, according to Jesus, there's other things besides the flames. It talks about it being outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. But if you'd had nothing else with this man, this rich man, knowing that he can't get out, that there is no hope for him, but he's hoping that someone would at least warn his brothers of this place of torment. And so those that die today, currently, if you do not know Christ, you would die in your sins. Jesus said in the book of John that if you do not believe in me, you will die in your sins. He said, truly, I tell you, if you do not believe in me, you will die in your sins. And so if you do not believe that he is who he says he is, put your trust in him, you will die in your sins. You will die and you will go to this place of Hades. Your body will be in the grave, but you will nevertheless be in this place of torment, and you will be able to feel unpleasantries. You'll feel the heat. You'll feel the torment. You'll feel the anguish. You'll feel the regrets, having perhaps lost the opportunities you have even today, that no one knows when we're going to die. And so if that's you, my friend, that today would be the day of salvation. Now would be the accepted time before it's too late. It says, it has been appointed man once under judgment, or once under death, and then the judgment. One time to die. We don't get a second chance. There's no purgatory. There's no waiting place getting another chance. That you must, on this side of death, determine your destiny will be determined based on where you stand with Jesus Christ. Do you know him, and does he know you? Or have you rejected him as he offers salvation even now being made to you through one, me, just a sinner saved by grace himself, to tell you that there's grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, that you can have your sins forgiven and have everlasting life and will not have to die in your sins. And for those who put their trust in Christ, then they don't have to worry about this everlasting place of torment, but they can be assured that Christ has paid for their sins, that they have been given a pardon and will not have to face that eternal death sentence, that they can have eternal life in the presence of God in a place of comfort, like Lazarus, a place of comfort. And so, my friend, if that's you out there today, I would encourage you to turn to Christ in repentance and the fullness of faith and believing to the saving of your soul. That Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and on the third day rose from the dead, he was crucified, he died, he was buried. On the third day he rose from the dead. He's alive. And he is calling all to believe on him. He gives the call, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden. And so come to him today and escape the fate of this rich man, that you can have eternal life. It says that perfect love casts out all fear. That fear involves torment. That you don't have to fear the judgment if you're in Christ. You don't have to fear that, because the love of Christ has driven all that fear out. That we have can have safety, security, that Jesus, who gave himself on the cross, gives us eternal life, and we won't come into the judgment. But we've already passed from death to life. That's the idea. When we come to Christ, he says, I truly say unto you, he who believes in me has everlasting life and will not come into the judgment, but has crossed from death to life. And so I'd encourage you, my friends, to read the book of John. In fact, I got these books of John sent to me. Now, you can order these off of Ray Comfort's website. They're the $1 million bill, but instead of just a track, it's got the whole Gospel of John. That's just the cover. They're really, really cool, and they're pocket size. If you email me or something, I can hook you up with one of these, or you can get a Bible or something. But read the book of John. It says these things were written that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, and by believing have life in his name. So the purpose of the book, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle John wrote that with the specifics. The reason is so that you would believe. He testifies of the person of Christ and the miracles in hopes that you would believe on him. And so what better book to read out of the Bible to start with? So that's it, my friends. I hope you trust in Christ and stay tuned for more videos like this and other subjects as well. God bless you until we meet again.